Good morning again. Welcome to ACC. Glad to have all of you here this morning for service. I think it was about a month ago, Lucy and I got an email from a school that Rowan, my son, has been on the wait list for a while. And so when we got the email basically said that there was a spot that was open, and they would like to invite our son to join this school. So I remember when we got the email, we were like, uh-oh, because we weren't prepared for it. So we just quickly responded yes, sent it out, and we're like, oh, what do we do now? And the reason why that's scary is because, if you don't know, we've been homeschooling our boys all of this time. So this is the first time as a parent for me to send one of my children to a regular school, I guess. So this past week, we had a new parents orientation. And I remembered I was pretty anxious about it. I mean, all of us who went there, this was, all of our kids, this is our first time, attending this school. So obviously, we had a lot of questions. And I remember sitting there and just listening, to the principal, to the teachers, to the staff, like throwing all of these things that we need to know. And I would just sit there, and I'm trying to absorb everything in, but it wasn't working. Okay, it was just like, I would hear it, and then it would just kind of disappear, and I'm like, oh no, what are we supposed to do? I remember at one point, they were talking about how to, enter the school, where to drop off your kid, how to find your kid. And again, if you just remember, we homeschooled our kids all this time. I've never, ever dropped my kid off at school. In fact, every single time I would pass by a school and I would see the cars lining up, I would laugh at them. I'm like, ha, suckers, should have homeschooled your kids. But I was afraid. I was like, where am I supposed to drop them off? How do they know that I'm dropping them off in the right place? Where am I supposed to pick them up? It was crazy. So after this orientation, I must admit, I didn't really remember it too much. I was still anxious. And I was wondering, oh, man, did we even make the right decision? So after the orientation was over, I got a chance to talk to one of the staff. And I was asking her all the same kind of questions again. He actually had a summer reading that he was supposed to do. And I'm like, what if we don't do it correctly, right? What if we can't do it at all? Where do I drop off my kid again? What is he supposed to wear? What can't he wear? All this kind of stuff. And after a while, she was patient. She was answering all my questions. And after a certain point, she stops me and she says, Mr. Sue, I just want to let you know, in so many ways, don't worry about these things. And then she proceeds to remind me again of the mission of this school, which is the main reason why we were on this wait list all this time. Because in this school, they weren't just concerned about the education, but they were equally and hopefully more concerned about the character of their students, the values that they want to instill in their students. And in as much as, the education component, and all these other kind of rules and regulations that they need to live out, she reminded me, at the end of the day, Mr. Sue, if your son comes out of this with strong character, strong values, a person who is willing to care for someone else, willing to stand up for someone else, then we did our job. And that was just a powerful reminder for me because I was so caught up with all these other things, and don't get me wrong, they're important. I need to know where to drop off my kid because if not, I'm in trouble. But having said that, the bigger picture is the mission of this school. We are in the midst of this series called Freed to Worship. We're looking at the second half of the book of Exodus. It's a story about a group of people called the Israelites whom God had a purpose and a calling for them. And for the purpose and calling to be fulfilled, he had to first take this whole nation out of slavery, out of Egypt. And then from there, he had to begin to teach this people what it means to worship him. Because for over 430 years, these people were used to being enslaved. They were used to following a certain rules, certain guidelines, certain lifestyle. And now for the first time, they were taken away from something, even though it was evil and wrong and hurt them. Still, they were being taken away to something that's new, something that is foreign to them, something that they're not used to. God had to teach them what it means to follow him. And it's in this context of worship. If you remember, I think it's the last couple of weeks, you know, if you can just quickly just even look at it, you turn to Exodus, you know, 20. I mean, God starts off with the Ten Commandments, right? He has all these rules. He has all these things that the people need to remember. Chapter 21, he gives, or even chapter 20, he still gives laws on how to build altars and what they mean. Chapter 21, he spends a chapter talking about slaves and restitution. Chapter 22, he talks about rules and laws about social justice. You come down to 23, he talks about laws and rules governing Sabbath and festivals. And it was kind of like the same kind of journey I went through. You're sitting there and you're listening to all these laws. You're listening to all these things that are important because they're going to direct you in trusting God and following God. But again, if you read all this, you're like, wow, there's a lot of stuff here. How am I going to remember these things? So now we come to the end of Exodus chapter 23, and it was a very pivotal moment for the nation of Israel to actually pause. All of these case laws were given to the Israelites. These are the things you need to do. If you're looking at this, you do this, you do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. If you're looking at this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. Don't do this, don't do this. And in chapter 23, we come to a moment where God says, I'm going to pause. I gave you a lot, and they're important. But I'm going to pause because I need you all to be locked in. Just like when we went to this new parent orientation, Lucy and myself, and I was hearing about what can we do, what can't we do, you know, all this stuff. And the staff member said, I need to make sure, Mr. Sue, that you're locked in to our mission. Inasmuch as these other things are important, if you lose sight of our mission, then you've completely lost sight of why we have this school. So let me invite you to read with me as we read Exodus chapter 23. We're going to be looking specifically at verses 20 to 33 this morning. And I'll be highlighting three main points for us today. Exodus chapter 23, starting in verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Let me pause there for a second because that's where I want to highlight the first point. Again, if you were the Israelites and you spend the last few moments listening to God as he told you what you need to do or what you can't do, things like that. Now in verse 20, in so many ways he kind of shifts and he gives the big picture once again and he says, I'm going to send you my messenger. I'm going to send you my angel. And he's going to guard you, and he's going to walk with you, and he's going to prepare you, and he's going to bring you to the place that I have prepared. And the first thing I want to highlight here is don't ever forget the mission that God has given us. Because when he sets us free to worship him, I think so many times we might lose sight of why, the purpose behind why we worship him to begin with. And obviously, there are things that we need to know, things that we need to abide by, things that we need to obey in order to make our worship to God significant and meaningful. But if we fail to realize the reason behind why we worship, then we have in so many ways lost focus on this mission. And this mission, again, is to worship God, is to worship him alone and nothing else. And for the Israelites, in verse 20, they were reminded again that, hey, I'm giving you all of these things for you to abide by, but remember, I am actually taking you on this journey to this thing called the Promised Land. I want you to obey all of these laws because it's going to really make it easier for you to get to the Promised Land. That is the mission I have for you, Israel. And he reminds them here right from the beginning, because he wants the people to be locked in. Be concerned about the laws, but if you're going to spend your time arguing, if you're going to spend your time wrestling with me about why I gave you this law, why I told you to do this, why I told you not to do this, and then you forget that you're actually called to go from this place to this place, then you have really forgotten all about what just happened to you and where I'm taking you. And church, that is a reminder for us this morning as well. Why do we even have this thing called a church? Why are you even here on Sunday morning? If we think that the only reason we're here on Sunday morning is so that we can do this, we can do that, or we can't do this, or we can't do that, but we miss the whole point, is that we as a people of God are drawn together to worship him and acknowledge him in front of a world that is broken and hopeless without him, then we've lost our focus, we've lost our mission, we've lost our calling. And if we lose our mission, and if we lose our calling, then what happened in El Paso would not mean anything to you. If we lose our mission for what God has given us, then what happened in Dayton will not matter to you at all. That when I lose the mission of God in my life and I get caught up, oh, I can only do this, I can't do that, why? And I just focus on that, then I will never go against white nationalism. In fact, I won't even go against any nationalism. I would remain quiet. I won't go against racism. I would just remain quiet. I won't go against the very evil and sin that is destroying our country right now. Because if we lose sight of God's mission, all we're going to do is remain quiet. All we're going to do is remain silent. We're never going to acknowledge it. We're never going to bring God's justice to it. And we're just going to live our lives. And my friends, that is not God's calling for us as a body of believers. We are not called to be silent. We are not called to be quiet. We are not called to be on the sidelines just watching evil and sin pass us by and destroying God's creation. We must be at the forefront of his mission here on earth. And God is telling the Israelites, don't ever, ever forget the journey, the mission, the calling that I have set for you right now. Don't ever forget. Be locked in. Be locked in. Focus. Like a laser, you are focused on the very calling of God and nothing else. Because what happened last week, if that quickly passed you by and that did not impact your heart one bit, that did not get you upset, that did not enrage you as a daughter and son of God, ask yourself, what mission are you truly following in your life? What mission are you truly following in your life? God says, behold, I will send my angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Israel, be locked into this, because there's going to be so many things that's going to happen to you on the way to the Promised Land. And if you lose focus, if you lose sight, you're going to wander. And if you lose sight, you're going to doubt. And if you're going to lose sight of me, You're going to question every decision I make for you. You're going to question everything that is laid before you. And you're going to go against me. And unfortunately, many times, if you know the story, you know that's exactly what happened. The Israelites were not focused on God's mission. They were not focused on God's justice. They were not focused on God's love. They were not focused on God's righteousness. And they wandered off. Church, we can't afford to do that. Let's be locked in. Second point. Verse 21. Pay careful attention to him and obey his voice. Do not rebel against him, for he will not pardon your transgression, for my name is in him. But if you carefully obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. Second point is this. We must be fiercely, fiercely allegiant to God. I like what it says here in verse 21 when it says, pay careful attention. It didn't just say pay attention, because we know what that's like, right? We know what it's like when we just pay attention. When I was in college, I had a part-time job as a tutor. And one of the things one of the students I had was this girl who, for all intents and purposes, I don't think her heart was ever in college. You know, I think she didn't like to study. Every time we would meet to go through her class, she would put her Walkman on. Yeah, for those of you who are very, very young, please look up Google Walkman. You'll find out what it is. But she would put on her Walkman. She would just kind of stare at me and look at me. I would try to go through the chapter with her, and she's not listening. And it was pretty frustrating, to say the least. Sure, I was getting paid for it. But, you know, to sit there for an hour, and you know that the person sitting next across from you is not listening to you at all. They're purposely not listening to you. They're just staring at you, listening to their song, kind of like just daydreaming. And you're like, you're going to fail. And you're going to get kicked out of this school. One time I was so frustrated by her because I just told her, why don't you just read? Why can't you just read this chapter? Why not? Why can't you do it? I just didn't know what else to say. And she was so frustrated at me because that's all I say to her. She actually got her textbook. And this is what she did. She said, you want me to read? And then for, I don't know how long, 30 seconds, a minute, she just had that textbook right in front of her covering. I mean, she couldn't see me. You know, and I couldn't see her face. And she's just reading word for word everything. And I'm like, I was so mad. I'm like, man, you're spiting me now. You are making fun of me. You are just putting me down. And she's just doing that. And you know what? I don't know. After 30 seconds or so, she's reading and then she pauses. And then she slowly, you know, puts a greater distance between herself and the textbook. She starts reading again in a slower pace. And she's reading, she's pausing, she's reading. She puts her textbook down, she grabs her notebook, she looks at it, and she's like, oh. She writes something down. I remain quiet. Picks up the book again. This time she's reading quietly. Looks like a light bulb just turned on. She went like this. Puts it down. Writes something in her notebook. Now I'm looking at her notebook. She's answering the questions. We know what it's like to pay attention. The difference between paying attention and paying careful attention. We know what that is. And we're very good at paying attention when it comes to our spiritual walk, but not paying careful attention. You see, paying attention, and I know you do this because I do it, okay? Paying attention is when you open your Bibles and you're reading. And you're reading. Then you close your Bible. And then you go on and live the rest of the day. Because you know that the only thing that you did was to prove to yourself that you can read. Right? I've done it. I did that this past week. Open the Bible, read, close. But if I was honest to myself, the only thing that happened at that moment was that I proved to myself that I can read. That's all. I paid attention. But you see, to be fiercely allegiant to God is to pay careful attention. Really, it's to do this. It's to do this, to read, and to actually realize, oh, wow. It seems like what I'm reading here can actually change lives. What I'm reading here could actually transform lives. What I'm reading here can actually make me into a different person. You put it down and you pray. You put it down and you wrestle with God. You put it down and you wait for the Holy Spirit to explain to you what you just read. You are now engaged in God. You are now fiercely devoted to Him. You are just now interacting with Him as He speaks to you, as He conveys His message to you, as He tells you, you are my daughter, you are my son, and I want you locked in because this is what I have for you, and you are just walking with Him that closely. That is fiercely being allegiant to God. And that's what God was saying to the Israelites here. I don't need you to pay attention. I need you to pay careful attention. I need you to actually obey me. I don't want to be the God that is speaking to you and you just look at me and think, oh, you're just blabbing on and on and on. I don't really care what you have to say, God. And yet many times we do that. Many times I've done that. And when I do that, I am not locked into the very mission of God. I need to pay careful attention. And to obey is to understand what God is saying to you and to say, yes, you are right, Lord. And then to live by it, to obey it, to abide in it, to make sure that it comes to fruition in my life. Do not rebel against Him, right? How many times have we heard from God and then we turn to Him and we say, no, I do not want to do that? That is not being fiercely allegiant to our Lord. To be locked in is to know God's mission and to say, I am fiercely for you and no one else. So that when I'm doing this, all I see, God, is you. I don't see anything else in this world. I do not see anything else that's going to lead me astray. All I see is you. And God says, if you carefully obey my voice, and if you carefully do all that I say to you, I will be for you. I will be an enemy to your enemies. I will be an adversary to your adversaries. I will be for you. Lock in with me. And church, we again have to lock in, be locked in to His calling. Be locked in our relationship with Him. We must be at the forefront. Once again, we must be at the forefront in the injustice, in the sin, in the evil that has taken place in this world. If we remain on the sideline, we are not doing what God has called us to do. Be locked in. And then the last point. And if I can ask the music team to make their way up here. They're going to prepare us to respond in a song in a bit. But here's my last point. And let me read the rest of chapter 23, verse 23. When my angel goes before you and brings you to the Amorites, the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I blot them out. Hear that, okay? God is doing the work. I blot your enemies out. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do as they do, but you shall utterly overthrow them and break their pillars in pieces. You shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from among you. None shall miscarry or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. I will send my terror before you, and will throw into confusion all the people against whom you shall come, and I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, the Hittites from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and possessed the land. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, from the wilderness to the Euphrates, for I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. I purposely read that out like as if it was a machine gun. Bam, 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 bam. You see God? You see God, how he moves? You see God, how he transforms? You see this kind of a God who is for you? But just like the Astros game yesterday, any Astros fan here, right? I don't know if you knew the score. It was like 23-2. You look at the highlights, it's like bam, 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 home run after home run after home run, run after run after run. It's amazing. What's an amazing game. And look at this. Inasmuch as God was saying, this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to do this, 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 this. Look at how this section of Exodus was bookended. Verse 24. You shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them. You shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them. And then book ended with this, verse 32 and 33. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. Basically, God is saying, I'm going to do this all for you, and you know what? You can still easily turn away from me. And I still have to warn you. Inasmuch as I'm doing all this for you and I'm showing you my sovereignty, my power, my authority, that you can still be tempted to walk away from me. Church, we cannot respond in that way because we know what God has done for us. We know what God has done for you. You know, you can list it down. You probably can't list it down. There are so many things that God has done for you in rescuing you and delivering you. And yet, at the end, he still has to bookend these things and say, don't make other gods. Don't follow other gods. Church, we're in a time and situation in human history where I guess we can easily just be quiet and silent and not do anything. But I really believe that if we make God God in our lives, that we don't worship anything else or anyone else, that we're fiercely allegiant to him and to him alone, we will know his mission. We will know his calling. And we will be locked in. And as long as we are here on earth, we are his messengers of the gospel that brings justice and freedom to people who have no voice to speak for themselves. Can we take up that mission? Can we as ACC take up that mission in your workplaces, in your neighborhoods, on your campuses, in your families, with strangers? Can you do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we, in a moment, will respond in song, but speak to us. Let us know, what does it mean to be locked into you, that we are solely focused on you and you alone, that we don't let anything else of this world take us away from worshiping you freely. Father, forgive us for the many ways we have worshiped other things in our life. We worship our own dreams, our own security, our own safety, our own comfort. Somehow we would rather be quiet and remain on the sideline, not rock the boat, not be involved in bringing your justice in this world, not being involved in bringing your mercy into this world. That we choose to just exist. Father, forgive us when we have worshipped other things instead of worshiping you. Because when we worship you, when we are fiercely allegiant to you, we realize the calling you have for us. A calling that will take us in very uncomfortable situations and circumstances to make differences in this world because of you. And when this world sees those differences, they will see you. And they will surrender to you. So Holy Spirit, even now, as you work in us and as you speak to us, I pray that we will respond to you in obedience and in faith. Help us, Lord, to pay careful attention to you and to do all that you have asked us to. In your name we pray. Amen.
Stand together.